This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. I'm Don Wick. Randy Conan here in studio as well. We'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson as well. A major storm being seen in the nation's midsection, including really the Twin Cities, parts of Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, and Michigan. A smaller system bringing light snow to the central Red River Valley and northeastern South Dakota at this hour. The next wave is on its way, though. The National Weather Service has issued a winter storm watch for much of central North Dakota. That would be starting Sunday afternoon, going through Monday. Some areas may be receiving 6 to 12 inches of snow.
To avoid a government shutdown, Congress is expected to vote on 6 funding bills today. Handful of agencies, including USDA, passed a week ago. The House is expected to vote by mid-morning. If it passes, the bill would then move on to the Senate for consideration.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack faced the House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee yesterday, highlighting President Biden's 2025 budget request. Topics addressed included the use of commodity credit corporation funds, workforce issues, and government nutrition programs. Vilsack also said there are two ways for Congress to help farmers.
Pass immigration reform, and then secondly, work with us to continue to create new revenue streams, new ways in which agricultural waste can be converted to something more valuable, ways in which renewable energy can be generated on the farm and used to lower costs for everybody in the neighborhood. Work with us to rebuild a resilient local and regional food system. That creates multiple revenue sources that don't exist or don't exist enough of today.
South Dakota Senator John Thune went to the Senate floor criticizing the Biden administration's agricultural trade deficit.
In fact, last year, the United States posted a $16.6 billion agricultural trade deficit. $16.6 billion. And that trade deficit, believe it or not, is projected to be nearly twice as large this year in an area of our economy where typically we have run historically trade surpluses. Mr. President, this would be bad enough on its own, but it's particularly distressing at a time of economic uncertainty for a lot of farmers and ranchers.
Thune said the Biden administration is not negotiating any new free trade agreements and putting the U.S. at a competitive disadvantage.
According to USDA's grain transportation report, Class 1 railroads originated over 23,000 grain carloads in the week ending March 9th. That's down 4% from the previous week. A total of 316 grain barges moved down the river in the latest reporting week, down 63 from the previous week. The rate for shipping grain from the Pacific Northwest to Japan was $33.50 per metric ton. That's down 2% from the previous week.
USDA will release its planting intentions and quarterly grain stocks report next Thursday. The money farm owner, Allison Thompson, says traders will focus on corn and soybean acreage.
Most are looking for estimates to come in very close to where the USDA was for their February outlook form. Again, we're looking for higher soybeans, lower corn, and wheat acres. But again, always a toss-up. I know this year, especially since markets have pulled back over the past couple of months, there has been a lot of talk of other crops going in the ground, a lot of specialty crops, and we're known up here to be the swing acre area. So there's a good chance that we could see some surprises in the report.
Thompson's not expecting the quarterly grain stocks numbers to get a lot of attention.
You know, they really don't. Everyone's so excited to see what the acres are, good, bad, or otherwise. But quarterly stocks will be released as well. And overall, they are looking for some pretty high numbers for corn. But that's not really surprising to the trade. We know we had good production last year. So it is expected that we will see some higher numbers there. But again, it's the outlook for next year that's really got the trade's focus moving forward.
Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzlo thinks this week's grain market action had traders playing catch up.
Yeah, I think the trade was caught off guard by the fact that we went into this week seeing better precip for the droughty areas of the United States, better precip for the droughty areas of center-west Brazil, but then an 11-inch rain hitting Argentina in parts of their crop belt, I think really came out of nowhere for the most part. And I think you're right. We had to adjust to that in the market, and that created, I think, a big reason why those soybeans, led by the meal, has been able to find a lot of short covering.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The decision to raise continuous corn can help the producer's bottom line, but it's not without its risks. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Speaking with Pioneer Field agronomist Eric Rice. Eric, what are some of the reasons that a farmer or corn producer might choose to go corn on corn growing?
I think it's all income-based. They're making more money on corn, and a lot of them are set up with large equipment for corn. And once you're set up that way, soybeans are almost a cover crop, just rotation type thing, so that they can grow corn again. Now that we understand management of it better, varieties are better, there's just less loss in a corn-on-corn year, you might say.
Follow the money, as they say.
That's right.
What sort of suggestions or recommendations would you have for someone who's starting to do corn-on-corn or going into corn-on-corn?
Any kind of continuous corn situation, you just need to understand the extra stress that's put on that crop going year after year with the same type of thing. There's just a multitude of stresses, whether it's nutrient availability, disease, insects, just moisture needs, and a lot of different stresses that are involved in growing a continuous corn-on-corn situation.
Okay, did we miss anything? Anything else we should be talking about here for corn-on-corn growers, Eric?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think nutrients are a big deal. Variety selection is a big deal. Knowing your soils is a big deal. And then just management of it all is the keys to it. So you can lose as little as 0% year over year on yield. And in some cases, extreme, you could lose 30 or more percent. So it is a very finite opportunity, I guess you could say.
That was Pioneer Field Agronomist Eric Rice. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
The NDSU Soybean Symposium is coming up next week, Wednesday. One of the presenters, NDSU Extension Soybean Pathologist Wade Webster, will be sharing a new tool for helping farmers narrow down their fungicide application window.
The decision support tools, as we call them, they're developed from predictive models that we have used historical disease data and then combining that with weather data. And we create these statistical models, which we then have used to create tools that can be either used online or on smartphones that help to kind of guide management strategies such as when to make these fungicide applications. So if a farmer were to potentially go out in the field, if that environment or the weather is not conducive for disease development, our app or our tool is going to tell that farmer, hey, you may not actually need to make an application and you can save yourself, you know, $30, $35 an acre.
Webster expects the mild winter to be a hot topic at the symposium.
We as farmers know it's going to be the weather, and I think that's going to be the really interesting one to see how this relatively mild winter is going to impact disease development. And so across the board, because of how mild we've been, I'm suspecting that there's going to be many of these diseases that are surviving or were not killed off this during this past winter. So potentially higher foliar or higher leaf diseases might be showing up this year. And so that's something, at least from my perspective, that I'm looking out for, something that could be interesting, different from other years.
Grand Forks-based Air Seeder Parts has a new tool available for the spring planting season. Dan Altepeter, who also farms, said this invention solved a problem he was having.
We had a problem with certain types of seed like oats and barley and grass seeds that we were always having troubles with. It just wouldn't flow into the meter on air seeder as it should. And we always thought, geez, we should just take and try and do some extra, you know, agitation or something to keep this product flowing. And we were messing around with the idea for a few years. And we came up with a kit that would go on to any of the air carts that we were using.
The double agitator is an aftermarket kit for John Deere air seeders.
We started selling them here now this spring, and we've taken quite a few orders, and I think there's going to be a lot of them running in the field this spring.
The Minnesota Beef Council has awarded a Crookston meat market with its annual Minnesota Retail Beef Backer Award. B&E Meats offers a wide variety of fresh and smoked meats. During the Christmas season, B&E Meats shared a prime rib cooking instruction video online. It received more than 1 million hits. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Adjuvants are designed to improve the performance of herbicides, fungicides, and insecticides. Helena Agra Enterprises brand manager Austin Anderson values a back-to-basics approach.
Whether you think about compatibility, so knowing that tank mixes are ever more so complicated as they were generations before, think about making sure you've got your water quality in line to where you can make sure that your herbicide, fungicide, and insecticide is the most active and the most available. You think about drift control, which everybody thinks about, absorption and penetration, wetting and spreading, you know, and all those sorts of things like deposition, being able to get that product to stay on that leaf to where that plant can absorb it, are just really back to the basics about making sure that we're doing everything we can to enhance the time on the farm and make sure it's as valuable as possible.
The Humane Society of the United States is challenging comments made by House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson this week. Thompson said he is determined to fix California's Proposition 12 within the Farm Bill. The activist group said this is one of the biggest fights in its history and will mobilize its supporters to defeat any attempts to change this policy. Prop 12 demands specific housing requirements for pregnant sows, egg-laying hens, and veal calves.
To block USDA's decision to lift the ban on fresh beef imports from Paraguay, the U.S. Senate overwhelmingly approved a resolution of disapproval. The lawmakers are concerned about the threat of foot and mouth disease. The resolution was introduced by South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds and Montana Senator John Tester and has the support of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, RCAF USA, U.S. Cattlemen's Association, the Livestock Marketing Association, National Farmers Union, and the American Farm Bureau Federation.
Checking markets this morning, we're mixed for Minneapolis wheat, a half penny lower for May, and 1.25 cents higher for September. Chicago wheat for May down 4.25 cents. Hard red winter wheat May down a nickel. The May corn market down 2.75 cents as we speak at 438. New crop down 3. Soybeans double digit losses. May 14 lower at 1198. New crop soybeans 11.5 down 1192.75. On the farm calendar, there is a succession planning workshop going on in Festen, North Dakota this morning, or all day today, actually. Starts with registration at 9:15. Their featured speaker, Jolene Brown. If you have ever heard Jolene, she does a phenomenal job, again, talking farm business workshop, succession planning. That's going on this morning, or starting this morning, in Festen, North Dakota. Also, a multi-generational farm transition retreat starting late today, continuing through tomorrow in Crookston. This is a hands-on planning and discussion on farm transition for the entire farm family. And don't forget, Thief River Falls Radio with their farm breakfast tomorrow, everything starting at 7 a.m. Have a great day, great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.